Awfully ~62.2 be patient with infirmities ... especially dreadful is the thought of a child turning in hatred upon a mother who has become old and feeble, upon whom has come those infirmities of disposition attendant upon second childhood. How patiently, how tenderly, should children bear with such a mother? Tender words which will not irritate the spirit should be spoken. A true Christian will never be unkind, never under any circumstances be neglectful of his father or mother, but will heed the command, honor thy father and thy mother. God has 363 said, thou shalt rise up before the hoary head, and honor the face of the old man. Of 362.3 children, let your parents, infirm and unable to care for themselves, find their last days filled with contentment, peace, and love. For Christ's sake, let them go down to the grave receiving from you only words of kindness, love, mercy, and forgiveness. You desire the Lord to love and pity and forgive you, and to make all your bed in your sickness, and will you not treat others as you would wish to be treated yourself? Of 363.1 God's plan of caring for the aged ... the matter of caring for our aged brethren and sisters who have no homes is constantly being urged. What can be done for them? The lights which the Lord has given me has been repeated. It is not best to establish institutions for the care of the aged, that they may be in a company together. Nor should they be sent away from home to receive care. Let the members of every family minister to their own relatives. When this is not possible, the work belongs to the church, and it should be accepted both as a duty and as a privilege. All who have Christ's spirit will regard the feeble and aged with special respect and tenderness. Of 363.2 A privilege that brings satisfaction and joy ... the thought that children have ministered to the comfort of their parents is a thought of satisfaction all through the life, and will especially bring them joy when they themselves are in need of sympathy and love. Those whose hearts are filled with love will regard the privilege of smoothing the passage to the grave for their parents an inestimable privilege. They will rejoice that they had a part in bringing comfort and peace to the last days of 364 their loved parents. To do otherwise than this, to deny to the helpless aged ones the kindly ministrations of sons and daughters, would fill the soul with remorse, the days with regret, if our hearts were not hardened and cold as a stone. 363.3 Chapter 60, Stewards of God. We are to recognize God's ownership ... that which lies at the foundation of business integrity and of true success is the recognition of God's ownership. The creator of all things, he is the original proprietor. We are his stewards. All that we have is a trust from him, to be used according to his direction. Of 367.1 This is an obligation that rests upon every human being. It has to do with the whole sphere of human activity. Whether we recognize it or not, we are stewards, supplied from God with talents and facilities and placed in the world to do a work appointed by Him. Of 367.2 Money is not ours. Houses and grounds, pictures and furniture, garments and luxuries, do not belong to us. We are pilgrims, we are strangers. We have only a grant of those things that are necessary for health and life. Our temporal blessings are given us in trust, to prove whether we can be entrusted with eternal riches. If we endure the proving of God, then we shall receive that purchased possession which is to be our own, glory, honor, and immortality. Of 367.3 We must give an account ... if our own people would only put into the cause of God the money that has been lent them in trust, that portion which they spend in selfish gratification, in idolatry, they would lay up treasure in heaven, and would be doing the very work God requires them to do. But like the rich man in the parable, they live sumptuously. The money God has lent them in trust, to be used to His name's glory, they spent 368 extravagantly. They do not stop to consider their accountability to God. They do not stop to consider that there is to be a reckoning day not far hence, when they must give an account of their stewardship. Of 367.4 We should ever remember, that in the judgment we must meet the record of the way we use God's money. Much is spent in self-pleasing, self-gratification, that does us no real good, but positive injury. If we realize that God is the giver of all good things, that the money is His, then we shall exercise wisdom in its expenditure, conforming to His holy will. The world, its customs, its passions, will not be our standard. We shall not have a desire to conform to its practices. We shall not permit our own inclinations to control us. A 368.1 in our use of money we can make it an agent of spiritual improvements by regarding it as a sacred trust, not to be employed to administer to pride, vanity, appetite, or passion. A 368.2 I was shown that the reporting angel makes a faithful record of every offering dedicated to God and put into the treasury and also of the final result of the means thus bestowed. The eye of God takes cognizance of every farthing devoted to his cause and of the willingness or reluctance of the giver. The motive in giving is also chronicled. A 368.3 systematic giving for the family. Let every one of you lay by him in store, as God hath prospered him. Every member of the family, from the oldest down to the youngest, may take part in this work of benevolence. The plan of systematic benevolence note reference is here made to plans followed early by the Church in laying aside weekly the tithes and offerings, compilers. Will prove a safeguard to every family against temptations to spend 369 means for needless things, and especially will it prove a blessing to the rich by guarding them from indulging in extravagances.